All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. This, of course, we would recognize as the Christian Hall of Faith. And that's what our lesson will be about today, people who live by faith and they were blessings to others around them. And you can see how their lives and what they did should inspire us and we should inspire others. So we'll look at these. We've been studying in this series people with no names that had a significant impact on those that were around them and others that they would witness to, their lives that would affect them. And so many people with no names are in the Bible, but what they did and the impact they had is recorded there. And that, of course, is for our challenge and admonition that we would do the same thing. It's good to see you here today. We have visitors with us. We're glad you're in the class and the auditorium class. I started to say the old people's class, but I'm not going to say that. But the senior saints class. And if you're visiting, we do have other adult classes. Maybe you were not aware of that if you prefer to check those out too. But we're glad you're here today. And it's good to see Melba back today. Glad you're here. She's been in the hospital and then recuperating. And some others that are sick, we're glad you're doing better. And thank the Lord for that. All right? Today we're looking at the lesson entitled, And Others with No Name. And Others with No Name. Let's look at chapter 11, Hebrews 11. And we'll start with verse 36. And we'll read these verses and then we'll refer to some other verses as we go along. In chapter 11, verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Can you imagine taking a saw and they had to be sawed in two? Why? Because of their stand for Christ. Took a lot of faith to do that, didn't it? They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. That is, tested and tried in all different ways. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Doesn't sound like the kind of life we want. But these were godly people. In verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in darkness and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, there's the key to it, through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They didn't enter into what they were trusting in and the promise of things that were going to take place in the future and eternity, but they had faith that carried them through these horrible, terrible times. There's a list of great people of faith here in chapter 11. You have people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph, Moses. They mention Rahab and Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. They talk about Samuel, the prophets, and the Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel are mentioned. We are familiar with all these names, but there are other people included here. We don't have any idea what their names were. But they were important people, and they are mentioned in the Word of God. Back up to verse 33, Hebrews 11, 33. The Bible says, who through faith, notice the word there, faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So he's talking about a group of people who went through trials and some of the difficulties and some of the terrible things that they were going through, but it was faith that got them through that. Real faith, faith in God and faith in the promises of God. And they became influencers. You and I ought to want to be influencers today. We are influencers. We ought to be good influencers, influencers of faith, people who, when we go through certain things like they went through, show that faith that we can encourage these other people. I like the fact that there are influencers in our lives. I've had some people who really influenced my life as I came along, and I thank God for them. Dr. Barber's one of those men, and Dr. Jerry Falwell was a very good friend. He influenced my life in a lot of ways. But then there's some people you'd never know. Nell Marie Gonzalez, she was a lady that helped in our youth department when nobody else would do it and showed love and kindness and helped me. She and another friend at a very critical time in my life. My dad, my mother were influences to me. I had an uncle by the name of Raymond Weaver, and he was a preacher, and he influenced my life, influenced me to come to the Bible Baptist Seminary. My grandmother Grace influenced me. So we all have influence, but these were people that influenced my life, and I want to in turn influence the lives of others and live a life of faith, and as others observe my life, I hope it'll be an encouragement to them. But in the text here, these others were persecuted. Many of them were martyred, and we have a lot to learn from those wonderful people. And these are not fairy tales, folks. These people really suffered those things. They really went through these things, and they did it for Christ. Here's a question. Can God trust us? Can God trust you today with some trials? Can he trust you to have the right reaction to it and the right influence to others? Will we exercise faith when we run into those difficult times, or will we not? If we will, we'll come out like Job. Job had faith, and we will be better on the other side. Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And that's what God wants out of our lives. How are we going to react to trials? Are we going to do the right thing? So in your outline there, number one, you have a persecution template. We'll call it that, a persecution template. No generation that I know of, no Christians that are my friends, have ever prayed for persecution. We say, "Lord, just load me up with a lot of persecution. And load me up with a lot of trials." We rather run from those things if we can. But you know what the outcome is? When we have those trials, God's intended outcome is that we grow. God wants us to grow, and trials are a way of pruning us. And even if we're walking with God and walking right, we still need pruning every once in a while so we can produce much fruit. And so we need to exercise faith in those difficult times, and we'll come out always growing in the things of the Lord. Acts 8:1-4, and at that time, he's talking about persecution. Look what happened to them in the early church. "And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And you think, well, that's bad. They had to be scattered. Well, let's keep reading. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church." And this was later the apostle Paul, but he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now notice what happened. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad had an emotional breakdown, And they didn't keep serving God, and they questioned God, why did you do this to us? No, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. You see, here's the trial, and a lot of trial, but God allowed it, and then God's word was taken out to more people, and as they spread the gospel. So you have a notable past there in your outline, a notable past. We all have trials and temptations, difficulties that come in our life. We all have them, and these people had them. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is what? Common to man. So we all have these trials and these things that come. We don't mature in the things of God by walking down easy street. That's not how we mature. Everybody wants everything to be so prosperous and all of that. And there's a prosperity preaching and a prosperity theology that is untrue to the Word of God. We don't mature by traveling down an easy street. But God uses these difficulties, like He mentions here in these scriptures, to strengthen us, to develop us, so that we're more important to the cause of Christ in serving the Lord. So God uses these. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he went to God and asked Him 3 different times, would you please remove this thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was. Some think it was ophthalmology or some problem that he had with his eyes, because he would have someone else write the letters and sign and so on and so forth. We don't know for sure. But we do know that he went to the Lord about it. And 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so we have to recognize that. A butterfly has to struggle to get out of the cocoon. A little chicken has to peck on the egg to get out of that egg. And sometimes they are reminders. They're like trials in our lives. We struggle through those times, but we come out ahead. We come out like God wants us to. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And we don't like that sometimes, but that's what it has to be. In his devotional book, Charles Spurgeon, the book Faith's Checkbook, he said that the phrase from Isaiah 48:10, he quoted this as being important. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And he hung that on a plaque in his and his wife's bedroom there on the wall. And then he further wrote in that book these words, God's choice makes chosen men choice men. Let me say that again. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. We're chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. So we have a notable past and then a negative promise. The Bible is filled with a lot of promises, and we like those good ones, don't we? I mean, we do. We quote them, and that's good, and we need those promises. And there's one that we don't like too much, maybe. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living a godly life, you're going to suffer some kind of persecution. You say, well, I'm not certain. We maybe ought to do a checkup. You know, if we're living a godly life, he says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're persecuted sometimes in different ways. We don't know the full persecution like many Christians do right now. But there, it's out there. There's discrimination because you're Christian. There's some other things. Some family members think you're something that is, you know, that you've got leprosy and you got to stay away, or they can't be around you or whatever. But we know that we do have some of those things. But why is that? Because we bear the name of Jesus. If you're a Christian and you bear the name of Jesus, you let people know. And you can talk about God all day long, but when you start talking about Jesus, things are different. And you talk about Jesus. And so that is the difference. We bear the name of Jesus. By the way, he was perfect, and they still persecuted him, didn't they? Even though he was perfect. You and I are not perfect, but we probably deserve some of what we get. John 15:18-19, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Those are strong words. Hate, hate, hated. The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If we were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That tells us we ought to be separated, right? And that if we are living right, the world is not going to like us. And there is no exception to this rule. None. Not one exception to the rule. Now, the exception can be this: how we handle the persecution. How do we handle it? How do we respond to it? And so we have to consider allowing or being sure that the Holy Spirit is controlled so that we respond properly. My wife and I just saw the film Firing Squad. And I don't want to give you the whole story because you may want to see it someday. But there was a drug runner and he got saved, and he was in anybody in Indonesia that was a drug runner, if you got caught, you were going to the firing squad. There was no appeal, no anything. You were in prison, you'd go to the firing squad. It was just a matter of when the day was put on the calendar that you'd be killed. But anyway, he got saved. But he went through trials and abuse from the warden, all kinds of things. But he just loved him and lived through Christ. And I don't want to tell you the whole story, but anyway, good things happened because of that. Let's put it that way. He still got killed. This is a true story, by the way, based on a true story from 2015. But he got killed. He still got killed. But the influence brought great results. And if you want to know what they were, you go see it if you're of a mind to do that. They answer to God, people who are going through these trials and difficulties. But we have to be faithful to do his will. That's what Joseph did, didn't he? He was undergoing persecution from his brothers, mistreated, sold as a slave, lied upon, being in prison, all of those things. But he didn't have any revenge. He kept his eyes on God. Kept his eyes on God, and that's what took him through. Genesis 50:19-20. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. He said, God allowed it, and I forgive you. But he kept his eyes on God. When your trials come, as they surely will, ask God to give you that kind of perspective like Joseph had, and that kind of spirit. He just knew that God was in charge. No matter what was happening, God had a plan, and God was carrying out that plan to bring himself honor and glory. So we have a persecution template, and then secondly, a probable temptation. Look in Hebrews 11:37, back in our text. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. He gives that whole thing there. They were tempted. They went through temptations. That's one of the things he mentions there. We go through trials, and no doubt during those times, and I've seen it happen as a pastor for those 50 years in the ministry, people would just quit. They'd go through trials and question God, and they would just quit. You know, quitting is easy. Quitting is easy. It's always easy. You just quit and walk away from it. But it takes God's strength to remain faithful and to have faith in God and what God is doing right in the middle of the battle. We keep going. And we have a lot of scriptures that tell us that that's what it ought to be. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always unmovable, steadfast. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. When we're going through trials, be steadfast and have faith. This is a hall of faith, people of faith, and we need to do that. Many martyrs could have recanted. They could have said, I'm not going to go through this. I'm walking away from this. No doubt some did. But these people were people of faith, and they were bound and determined to do exactly what was right. It doesn't take any faith to quit. And we quit. Sometimes we quit over the silliest thing. Somebody didn't speak to me, or I wasn't noticed, or I wasn't bragged on, or some other crazy, flimsy thing. We let that throw us, and it's not even something that's in the category of a real test, but we need to have faith and keep going. Quitting is easy. Then quenching is essential. Quenching is essential. Be in your outline there. We need to quench or put out the fiery darts, arrows, that Satan shoots at us. And you can be sure he's doing that. His demons are working with him to carry that out. Ephesians 6:15, above all, he says, all of the armor you put on, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of faith will protect you from all of those fiery darts, those arrows that the devil sends at you, those things, those tests that he sends your way to try to destroy you and to hurt you. That's exactly what he wants to do. But the shield of faith, thank God for the shield of faith, it stops those darts. And we have darts of all sizes, little ones, middle-sized ones, and great big ones. And he shoots them at us all the time, trials of all sizes. But faith is what will quench those trials, those fiery darts. So we need to have that shield of faith. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world system, the world. It's our faith. By faith, we have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ rather than on the crisis. Focus on Christ, not the crisis. Hebrews 12:2-3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about what Jesus went through. Think about the fact that he didn't quit. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? We'd all be on our way to hell today if he'd have quit. We would be lost. We wouldn't have a redeemer. We wouldn't have a savior. And he says, look at him and remember what he did and do thou likewise. And so we need to do that. And the devil would fight him, and he was always using the scripture against Satan, and he would often say, it is written, it is written. But he said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4:7, it is written again. Matthew 4:10, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. He always went to the word, and that's another part of the armor, is the word of God. We use the word against Satan. What's the greatest temptations you have in your life? depression, or is it some moral thought, immoral thought, or what is it? We need to have some scriptures. Memorize some of those verses. And when Satan begins to attack you at your weakest point, and believe you me, he knows, as a general rule, all of people's weak points, but I think he might know some of your specific weak points, and we need to take those scriptures and shoot them right back at him. Satan doesn't, you don't have time to call a pastor and say, what do I do now? Or call a friend. You have to be ready when he attacks you and use a verse of scripture. Use the shield of faith and the verse of scripture, and do what you need to do to overcome those fiery darts. If it's worry, then you ought to have some verses about that. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. That's another way of saying it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And he says, don't worry. Are you worried today? Did you come to church worried about something this morning? Quit that. We don't need to worry. We're not supposed to worry. God says, don't do it. And if Satan really attacks you with that, and you're worried about the future and worried about what's going to happen to our country, listen, God's got this thing in his hands. Don't ever forget that. We don't like a lot of things, but God's in charge, and he's not going to allow anything that he doesn't want to allow, and he's going to turn it around and use it for his glory. If it's fear, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's God. And so just get familiar with some of those. And so when Satan fires, you fire back with the scripture. That's what Jesus. We can't outrun him. We can't outfight him. We can't outmaneuver him. But we can out-truth Satan. And that's through the scripture. He literally has no truth in him. And then the persecution template, the probable temptation, and then a purposed tenacity. A purposed tenacity. Their faithfulness was no accident. Hebrews 11, going back to verses 37 and 38. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted. All of these things he mentions. Verse 38, notice what he says in the first part of that verse. Of whom, that is these unnamed people, the world was not worthy. The world wasn't worthy of them. And so they have a heavenly fame that God gives them, of whom the world was not worthy. They lived apart from the world, and the world didn't want anything to do with them. Nobody knows who they were down here on earth, but nobody was worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. If you're honest with yourself today, if you're honest with yourself, do you desire your name to be known here on earth? That's something a lot of us deal with. I want to be known. I want everybody to know me and how important I am. Do you desire that the unsaved, that the ungodly crowd know your name? These are just some instances that we have to deal with. And we've got to constantly remind ourselves of some things. One of those is that God and the world have nothing in common. And we've got to choose. We need to choose. And we have the right to choose which place we care for our names to be known. Do we want them to be known here, or do we want them to be known in heaven? And these unnamed people were known in heaven. God said that. The world, he said, is not worthy of these unnamed people who live by faith. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but all of these things, these three things are of the world. So over and over, the scripture reminds us, over and over and over again, live separated from the world. Live separated from the influence of the world. And I'm telling you, the world tries always to creep into our churches. Any church is preaching the gospel anywhere. And he tries to do that. This is why we've got to remind ourselves. Micah 2:10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with sore destruction. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will, not of man, but of God. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that true in my life, in your life today? Set our affection on things above. We all like to make a name and materialism and pleasure and all of that stuff, and some of those are okay in the right place as long as we're doing it for the glory of God. And he says in Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You have to reckon it. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Then he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. Don't let it take control. That ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So there's more to those verses. So we have a heavenly fame, and then we have a hall of faith. A hall of faith. All of these great names that are mentioned. But then there are those who are not mentioned, these others. He mentioned those in verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. These are the people. A great way to summarize our lives is through faith or by faith. That's what he said about them, is through faith, by faith. He keeps talking about these are the heroes of faith. They were faithful servants. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what God recognizes. The world has its heroes, sports, politics, Hollywood, music, all of that. We should look for our heroes among God's people. We should look for our heroes among the faithful and those that are in the hall of fame, and we ought to pattern our lives after them. I remember a dear lady, you would not know her. Her name was Ida Cheek, and I came up in church, and I went through the beginner and the primary and then finally the junior department. And I remember Ida Cheek teaching, and she was always there. She taught the word. She was very quiet, very unassuming, not very forward at all, but she was faithful. She was there. She taught the word of God. I don't remember a lesson she taught right now, but I remember her. I remember her love. I remember her faithfulness to God, and I remember that she went through some trials and gave God all the honor and glory for it. And I know that she was faithful to the Lord, and that's the way we need to be. Let me close out very quickly with an illustration. George Whitfield was one of the great preachers during the Great Awakening, and John Wesley also was. And people from John Wesley, they wanted to make a denomination named after him, and they did it called the Methodist denomination. And they wanted also Whitfield to do that, but he refused. He would not do it. And they wanted him to preserve his legacy. This thing about legacy, I'm telling you. But anyway, on Whitfield's grave, this great Whitfield, here's what he said. Listen carefully, if you will. By his own request, these are the words he had put on his, had etched there. Here lies G.W. The record is on high. That's pretty plain, pretty simple, isn't it? He didn't say, I was the great reformer, the great guy that helped bring a revival to America and England. He just simply put on that. He wanted that put, here lies G.W., the record is on high. Whitfield didn't care about his name, whether it be remembered or not. He cared about the record that he had in heaven. So this is a study of the lives of all these great people of great significance. They're unnamed. But if we just look at what they went through and their faith that carried it through, and all of these others that we have studied, these unnamed Christians, we are to be content with what God allows in our lives, and to be one of the others, like he named, like he did not name here, the others. Nobody may ever know. Names are never mentioned. But in heaven, when you get there, will it be said of you, maybe at the judgment seat of Christ, he was faithful. She was faithful in all that they went through. Maybe it was you just taught a small class, or maybe worked in the baptismal changing room, or maybe back in the nursery, or maybe just someone at home who physically is not able to get around like you used to, but you're a great prayer warrior, a great ministry of prayer. That's a great ministry. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. No one reached the finish line without faith. You're not going to do it. We have to have faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. We must have faith like these in trials, no matter what comes. And then when this faith is tested, whether it's persecution, whatever it is, it'll be known in heaven, and our lives will influence others. As they watch us, we go through these difficulties, we go through these trials, and we are men and women of faith, great faith, then God will be pleased and others will be influenced like these people influenced us. When I read Hebrews 11, I am encouraged. When I read Hebrews 11, I'm challenged to live by faith, and God honors and blesses that. So let's do that. Next week, we'll start a new series on the life of Paul. It's a very interesting series, and I hope you'll be back for that. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful heroes of faith that you name, and the prophets, and then some that were not named, but oh, what they went through. Things we probably never have to go through, some things that we do go through. Help us to be people of faith. And as others observe our trials, our lives, our troubles, our difficulties, may they see that we walk by faith and trust you. And we know that we'll grow and we'll have a greater impact and a greater testimony for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.